Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Are we ready to praise and worship God this morning? Hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and stand up and come towards the front. Don't leave the worship team up here to worship by ourselves. We want friends up here. I know, you guys are always up front. I'm so excited. Why don't you find three people and tell them, I'm so excited to praise God. I'm so excited to praise God. Jamie, I'm super excited to praise God this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for this series on Next Level Health. Lord, I thank you that even in the middle of worship, right in the middle of your presence, we can be healed. We can be healed in our body. We can be healed in our mind. We can be healed in our emotions. And not because of anything that we've done, God, but because you already paid the price 2,000 years ago. Lord, I pray that as we stand here as your children, that we call upon your name, the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that you are Lord. So, Father, I thank you that we can call upon that name that is above cancer. We can call upon that name that is above diabetes. We can call upon that name that's above mental health. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we praise you for giving us that power. In the name of Jesus, can I hear an amen? Hallelujah.
We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence.
And all I require,
for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show.
Jesus, I thank you for the privilege and the honor to stand in your presence and declare that we know who we are in you. Lord, you called us the healed of God. You called us more than conquerors. You told us we were seated in heavenly places and that we are co-heirs, God. And not because of anything that we did, but because of everything that you did, Lord. Because of your precious blood that was spilled for us. Understand the blood. Many of us understand that we're forgiven and we're saved, but a lot of us have forgotten our testimony. A lot of us are looking at this mountain and we've forgotten how many other mountains behind us that God has conquered for us. The Lord wants to say this morning, don't forget what I've already conquered for you. If I did it once, I'll do it again. If I did it once, I'll do it again. Amen. Don't you forget what God has done. The devil would like to tell you that just because you're facing another mountain, that you're not saved, that just because you're fighting another mountain, that somehow everything that God did is negated, and that's not true. We overcome by the blood and by what he's already done, amen? I want all of you to lift your hands in this place, and I want you to remind your soul, remind your flesh what God has already done for you, how far you've already come, and I want you to tell your believer he's gonna do it again, amen? He's going to do it again, amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've already done for us.
Show us your glory and wonder and Doesn't he change everything? Doesn't he change everything? He's awesome, isn't he? Isn't God awesome? I just thank the Lord for the joy of God. You know, sometimes you just got to laugh at your devil, amen? Sometimes you got to laugh at your mountain. Sometimes you just got to look it straight in the face and just start laughing because you know you've already overcome. The battle's not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And you've already overcome in the name of Jesus, amen? So it's not like you have to fight. The Bible says that we've been made more than conquerors. I've told the story before, but it's such a powerful example. You know, if I was going to fight Mike Tyson, I would go and I would start training, and I would train 8-9 months, and I'd be in the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning running 10 miles, and then I'd go to the, you know, drink all my protein that they drink like raw eggs. It's nasty. Go in, work all the bags, get out of there, and then run to wind down another 10 miles, and day after day, week after week, month after month, and then it's the day to fight. You walk in there, and man, to get all wrapped up in your hands and the doctor checks you over, you get all suited, you head out there and you march your way down into the ring. There's Mike Tyson. Man, you know you're going to get the snot beat out of you. Hallelujah. Ding, ding, ding. The fight begins and you've made it through the first round. You hit him a few times. And about the third round, man, you drop down, you come up and you give him an uppercut. He drops, man. You hit his chin and he's out. He's laying on the ground and all of a sudden you hear 1, 2, 9, 10, new world champion. You make your way back to the locker room, you shower, you get checked over by the doctor. There's only one more window to go to at that place, and that is to pick up the check for $5 million. Say amen. Yeah. Especially if you're a tither, $5 million, glory. You get the check, you get in your car, it's close to home, you drive home, you pull into the driveway, walk up the sidewalk, and then all of a sudden your wife opens a door and she goes like this. You see, you're the conqueror. You had to fight and battle and train and develop. But your wife is more than a conqueror. She never swung one fist. She never had to run 1 mile. And she got to enjoy all the spoils that were available. I want you to know Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid it all. It's already been done. He's the conqueror. He's the victor. You and I are more than conquerors. We get to enjoy what Jesus already paid for. Can I hear an amen? On your way back to your chair, can you tell 5 people, I'm more than a conqueror? Come on, go find 5 people you don't know. Come on, tell them, go find 5 you don't know. Look them in the eye and say, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Come on, don't sit down. Go find somebody now. Come on, find 5 people you don't know and say, I'm more than a conqueror.
Kelly. How's it going?
Well, anyways, please take your seats and get ready for the upcoming announcements.
Hey, His Tabernacle family. I want to invite you to our Next Step classes. These classes are meant to further your relationship with God. They're held at every campus, and if you need more information on it, visit histabernacle.com or go to the information center out front.
We have an awesome opportunity for you. Every Sunday morning at every campus, we host a class called Growth Track. What this is going to do is it's going to help you discover your purpose and how you fit into this body. We are so excited about this class. It is your next step if you haven't taken it. If you'd like more information, you can visit us right now at the Info Center, or you can visit us on our website at histabernacle.com.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. Wow, wake up. Good morning, His Tabernacle. Wow, that's a little bit better. Thank you, Pastor Spencer. Doesn't he look fly in that coat? Do people still say that, fly? That coat he has on today is dapper. He looks dapper today. We want to welcome you all to His Tabernacle Family Church. We are a family church, and we are a family. And so if you are here for the very first time ever in the world, not Pastor Spencer, but if your very first time ever at His Tabernacle, please raise your hand. We just want to welcome you. Is anybody here for the very first time ever? I see a couple of jokesters out here, but I don't think, is there anybody? Am I missing someone? Anyway, there we go. Hallelujah. Welcome. We're so happy you're here. Our hosts and hostesses are coming around with guest packets. If you have not already received a guest packet, please leave your hand up so we can get that to you in your packet. There's some information about the church. There's a connection card. We want to connect with you, so please take a minute and fill that out. Take it back to the info center, or you can even put it in the offering basket. But we are a family, and families remain connected, right, Pastor Spencer? So I'm being heckled. And that's great. So the other thing we want to do is welcome our live stream family. Welcome here. If you're with us for the first time, you are very special too. And we want to get you a guest packet. So write us or email us at histab@histabernacle.com. And we will get a guest packet to you as well. But we're happy to have our online family and our guests here today and all of our regular family. If this is your first time, we want to meet you and connect with you. We have a guest reception in the hallway on this side, right after the service, where you can meet some of our pastors and leaders of the church. So we encourage you to please join us after service if you're a guest for coffee and some refreshments and get to know us, and we'd like to get to know you. A couple of things we have, big releases. We have a couple of exciting things going on I want to let you know about. The very first one I have is our new Grow Books. These are really exciting. They are 30-day Bible reading plans that are going to coincide with our sermon series. This next one coming up is called Brain Games, because we're going to be talking about emotional healing in our next series of sermons. And so this is a 30-day reading plan. There's scriptures for memorizing, there's journaling, there's some just helpful information here about helping you walk through the sermon series. We're also going to be going through these in depth in some of our small groups. So these are $10 each, and they're available. An amazing resource. You want to get a hold of those and help you grow deeper in Jesus. That's why we call them a grow book. And then we also have Hot Off the Presses. This is our brand new issue of Lady Rose magazine. They've actually arrived a little bit early. This is our September edition. And this is a quarterly publication that Pastor Rhonda is organizing and we're publishing in the USA. But it is a global publication. It is not just for ladies, even though it says Lady Rose. There's great articles in here about family, finances, growing in Christ, all kinds of things that will help you and encourage you. You want to get your hands on this, and these are available at the product table out front. You also can subscribe to this. It is a quarterly publication, and the information is on the back of the magazine about how you can subscribe. So get a hold of one of those. We also have the Week of Prayer and Fasting coming up. Woo! This is our second one this year. The Week of Prayer and Fasting is a powerful, powerful time in Christ. We want everyone to come out and participate. There are details about the Prayer and Fasting Week in your bulletin, but mark your calendar for September 8th through the 11th because you want to come out to these powerful prayer services morning, noon, and night. And we're also going to teach you how to fast and pray and just get closer to Jesus by participating with us in that. And now I'd like to bring up Pastor Rhonda Spencer for our tithes and offerings.
I love these grow books. It's going to be so exciting because it's going to take Sunday's message from Sunday morning into your every day of your week. Too many times we hear a message, we love the message, we want to implement it. This is going to take it from the church home with you so that you can continue growing in the message on Sundays. It's going to be an awesome addition to your study. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, it is one of my favorite times in the service. See, I'm a mom that loved to teach my children financial successful principles, and it's exciting to watch your children walk in successful finance. And so I would not feel right if I didn't share that in our own church with our own family in the house of God. God desires you to be successful in your finances. It's actually the topic Jesus talked more about when he was on this earth than any other topic. It was the greatest topic that he included. Why? Because it's what makes our lives go around, and we need to be successful in it. It's enough of the church being broken and poor and struggling. God didn't create us for that. And when we walk in his principles, it's so exciting. The word of God says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. The tithe is holy. It belongs to the Lord. You see, I stand up here not because I just want to tell you this. I get to stand up here because I live this and we watch God bless us. Even in the Word of God, those that obeyed His Word and His principles, we see Isaac. He sowed in a famine. So it does not matter what is happening around you. It can be complete famine. Isaac sowed in that famine and he brought in a harvest, a hundredfold harvest in the middle of a famine when everybody else was decreasing, when everybody else couldn't grow anything. Isaac grew because he sowed even in the famine. So when we do that, our lives get blessed. I shared a testimony this morning in first service, and there are testimony after testimony. Pastor didn't let me have time for my own testimony. He cut me short, so we won't include that one in this service either. But the testimony from this morning, oh, I get to do it? All right, awesome. The testimony this morning, there was a lady that came in and she shared this with me today. She said, I sowed a seed. She's a tither and she sowed a seed for her unsaved husband's business. Now that's a wise woman right there. She sowed for his business, and in that same week, he reaped a 200-fold return. The man doesn't even know why he's so blessed. Actually, she's very faithful to tell him, honey, I sowed seed on your business. We're going to see God increase you. And he's watching, and he's going to come to Jesus by the testimony of his wife. So our blessings, when we say the blessings chase us down and trip us up, man, I love that. We're prophesying over our lives. The blessings literally chase us down and trip us up. I was down with Pastor Kathy in the wintertime, and we were in the pool of her condo in Florida, Fort Lauderdale. We were down in Fort Lauderdale in the pool, just her and I, and way on the other side of this very big pool were two other gentlemen. And I was sitting there talking to her about, you know, we might have to sell the house. It's just so much work with the heat the way it is, and we don't know what we're going to do. And across the pool, you like this part because he works so hard. It is wood stove heat, pellet stove heat, which means chopping, splitting, stacking, loading, and keeping it going on a constant basis. So it's a lot of work. For our pastor who already works. So we had to come up with a solution. So across the pool comes this man interjecting in our conversation. You know how when you talk and your cell phone sends you advertisements for those conversations you've had? It's like kind of creepy. Well, that's what happened to us in the pool. God was listening to that conversation, and he sent an answer before we even finished the conversation. A man came across the pool, and he's like, well, I know what you should do. You should do this and this. And he said, by the way, I own a wholesale company, and I'm from upstate New York. And he said, what do you do? And I explained that we're pastors. And he's like, I love pastors. It's like God packaged this and sent it to us at that very time, in that very moment. And he said, I'll give you 40% off anything you want in my store. I love to bless pastors because I know the blessing that's on it. So we went our way. I told my husband about it, got his information, and we started pricing. He sent a message, no response from him at all. He was still in Florida. We didn't know. And we had gotten pricing on how to convert over, and it was going to be $18,000 to do the conversion. And we're like, oh, maybe it'll wait till next year or save up a little bit more. And we'd saved up quite a bit, but not enough. And the man called. He had just got back in town and responded and gave us the final pricing of $5,500 for everything. That's a third of the cost. It was, man, that blessing chased me. I was minding my own business. That blessing chased me down and tripped me up because I'm a child of God. That's what God does when you walk in his financial principles. Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration to the Lord. Found in Deuteronomy 28. It's the word of God, and it's talking about obedience. Obedience to what? His word that says the tithe is holy. The tithe belongs to the Lord. It's obedience to that. So let's make that declaration over our finances today. We're prophesying over our money, and it says, if I obey, I'm blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button or even text to get right along with us.
What a great day, isn't it?
Ooh, I forgot about that. Does this actually work? I want to use it. Sorry.
Praise the Lord. We are getting ready for today's message. Oh my goodness, I think you're going to love me or hate me. It is such a powerful word. Does anybody want a breakfast sausage? No chicken nuggets, but we got breakfast sausages. Yeah, I saw that young man. He wanted one too. Yeah, I only took one bite out of one of them. All right, I'm just giving one more away. Who wants it? Nah. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's going to be a great day. Don't you thank God for the SWAT team? They are an amazing team. Some of you are saying, what are they? They are the people who make the sermons come alive. And we are so blessed today because we want this sermon to come alive in our lives. This is a powerful message that you don't want to miss. Why? Because this whole series on this is the year of... I can't hear you. This is the year of... The next level, your next level. Man, I want you to realize that God, thank God you got saved, but that's just the beginning. Turn to someone and say, that's just the beginning. Tell somebody else, that's just the beginning. It's not the end. That's the start of it all, baby. We've got so much more, so much to grow, so much to do for Jesus. I want to remind you that we started talking this whole year. For those who are our guests, God gives me a theme for the whole year. And then we build line upon line, precept upon precept, little series after little series to help him make sure that we're all moving to what God's plan is for our life this year. And that is that each one of us will go to that next level in our walk with God. We'll go to that next level in our design that God has for us. And today we are in week two of God's plan or next level health. I want to remind you that God's plan is not healing. God's plan is not healing. God's plan is health. We need healing when we're not in health. And this is where God wants to bring us in a transition of our mind to where we get back to really believing what God's plan is for our life. God wants you healthy. He wants you healthy in your physical body. He wants you healthy in your spiritual body. And he wants you healthy in your soulish man. You see, God created you and I to be healthy people. And this is what we've got to believe. Because God's word is so clear on this, we cannot be willing to accept anything less than God's best for our lives. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I can't tell you how many pastors I've heard say, well, you know, it might not be God's will to heal you. Or they'll pray for somebody and say, Lord, if it be your will, I'm here to tell you today that it is always God's will to heal you. I said it is always God's will to heal you. Nope. I said it is always God's will to heal you. Nope. I said it is always God's will to heal you. It is not sometimes, it is not part times, it is every single time, always God's will to heal your body. Sadly enough, I used to be one of those preachers who would lay hands on people and say, Lord, if it be your will. And let me tell you why I used to pray that way. Because if they didn't get healed, I would sit back and I didn't want anybody to look badly on me or think that I was a powerless preacher. But I want you to know I'm not the healer. Can I hear an amen? Jesus is the healer. I can't heal the wing off a fly, but I thank God that I know a Savior who died on a cross, and by his stripes, we were healed. You aren't healed when we lay hands on you. You were actually healed 2,000 years ago, and that point of contact releases that supernatural anointing to drive out sickness and disease from your body. By Christ's body, you were healed. You see, this is the healthcare plan that we have as believers. Sadly enough, honestly, we are literally the only church in this region that is teaching this truth. You see, you and I have a covenant. God is not one with just rules and regulations. God is a covenant God. What is a covenant? It is an agreement between one who is greater and one who is lesser. And the covenant that God has cut with us is called the new covenant. And what is in the new covenant? That by the blood of Jesus Christ, all your sins can be forgiven. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. The blood of Christ washes every sin away. You become a new creation in Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Also, another part of that covenant is that by his body, the blood, the body of Jesus, your physical bodies were healed. Jesus said it this way in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that by his stripes you were healed. The Bible says in Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives every sin and heals every single disease. I want you to know there's no disease too big. There's no disease too small. There's no sickness too big. There's no sickness too small that Jesus Christ doesn't already and hasn't already paid the price for your healing. It is time to recognize that by his stripes you were healed. It is your covenant right, and we cannot just sit back and accept part. We've got to say, God, I want it all. I want all that Jesus paid for, not part. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You're going to learn three things today. Number one, where does sickness come from? Number two, why do Christians get sick? And number three, what is our responsibility? Number one, it's very simple. Where did sickness come from? Let's read it. Let's read James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25 first. But I don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Turn to someone and say, you got to be a doer. Tell somebody else, be a doer. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, what is the law? The law of Christ in the law of Christ in Jesus, which is Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the law of life. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. You see, this is something that we've got to grab a hold of. I am not going to believe anything but the word of God first. I want to remind you the sin of Eve. The sin of Eve, the Bible says she was beguiled. But the sin of Eve was she actually made a conversation with the enemy of her soul. And what did Satan do the very first thing with Eve? He tried to convince her, and he did, to question God's word. One of the greatest sins or one of the greatest struggles of the body of Christ is that we do not believe God's word wholly, only the part that makes it fits our little condition or what we enjoy. But I'm here to tell you, God's word is yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away. In fact, Christ is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We have got to say, God, if your word says it, it is so. You see, you've got to have faith in something. Can I hear an amen? And the Bible says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. You see, here we have faith. The word of God is our faith. It is the tangible, touchable, transferable process that God has placed within our hands. If the word says it, it is done. It is so before it manifests on the planet. Can I hear an amen? So when we're talking about healing, it is so important to say, God, I trust your word. I refuse to be like Eve and agree with the devil. I refuse to be like Eve and agree with religion. I don't care what preacher says it. I don't care how smart they may be. I don't care how big their TV program is or their church is. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, then it is not so. Say amen or oh my. So where does sickness come from? Well, we already talked about it. We talked about it simply last week. That there was no sickness, there was no sin, and there was no poverty in the Garden of Eden. There was no sickness. There was no sin. I should say, there is no sickness, there is no sin, and there is no poverty in heaven. You see, when Eve and Adam sinned, they stepped into something called sinning. What sinning did, it was the actual entry of sickness into the world. Before sin ever came on the planet, there was never sickness. Sin actually was the entry point for you and I to step into our sicknesses and diseases. It's called the Adamic nature. But I love Jesus so much because in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, is everyone who dies on the tree is the cursed one. But Christ died on the tree for you and I so that we don't have to be partakers of the curse any longer. You see, Jesus set us free and free from the curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? That was sin, sickness, and poverty. I want to remind you what happened. After they sinned, then they were told they were going to have to scratch on the land to barely make it by. They were going to have to live by the sweat of their brow. And we know that sickness came in the world. But when Jesus Christ came, he's our greatest example. Jesus never sinned. Jesus was not sick. And Jesus was not poor. I proved all that last week. Don't have time this. So I'm here to tell you today that where did sickness come from? Ultimately, it came from sin. Sin was that entry point. If there had not been sin, there would not have been sickness. So let me ask you a question. Some people say, Pastor, does that mean if I'm sick, I have sin? Absolutely not. But what it does mean is that that was the entry that it came into the world with. And you and I have to take a stand against it because Christ paid the price for it. So therefore, you and I do not have to have that in our lives. All sickness, all disease, when there is no sin in our life, is a trespasser and has no right to be on or in our body. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So as a believer, we know this. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. By shout, power. Who went about doing good? You see, that's what I love about God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So that means if you've seen me do things, that's what Jesus is saying. If Jesus said, if you saw me do something, that's exactly how the Father acts. So if you see me, you already know who he is. So we know that whatever Jesus did on the earth was a reflection of exactly who our Father in heaven is. And with that is powerful because the Bible says that God sent Jesus of Nazareth and anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, and Jesus went about doing good. You see, there are a lot of folks who believe that sickness is good for them. I have never found sickness good. Is anybody else? Well, God will teach you some spiritual lesson. Let me tell you something. The truth is this. All things work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus, but not all things are good. God can make a great scrambled egg, but it doesn't mean it shouldn't have been over easy. Amen? So we've got to know that you and I have to take a position of recognizing that God sent Jesus to do good. What good did Jesus do while he was here on earth? He healed the sick. He opened the blind eyes. He opened the deaf ears. He made the paralytic get up, the paralyzed man get up off his bed. He made an individual that was in rebellion set free. Somebody who was demon possessed to be set free. They no longer had to live in the gravestones and the grave places. You see, Jesus did good things, and everything that Jesus did was considered good because it was the nature of his Father in heaven. What I love so much about this is that Jesus healed everybody that came to him. Not some of them, but he healed all of them. You see, when you recognize that, it has to change your mindset and your concept that sickness comes from God. Because when you recognize that Jesus healed them all and Jesus did good, you never saw Christ come into a crowd and simply say, listen, man, it's not your day. Come next Thursday and I'll heal you. He never looked at somebody and said, well, you know, it's really not God's will for you to be healed. Maybe next year, but not today. Everyone that came to Christ, he healed them all. This is the power of the gospel. This is the power of the truth. This is the power of the reality of Christ while he walked on this earth. What happens to the believers nowadays is because we're not being taught, we're not being preached faith, we're not being preached the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. What ends up happening is we accept part of the covenant, but not all of the covenant. Well, you know, I am getting older. I don't care if you're getting older. That's not the will of God that you have to deal with a sickness and disease. Can I hear an amen? Well, you know, my mother had it, my father had it, generation, I don't care. When you were born into the bloodline of Christ, you got new blood, and God, now you are called a son and daughter of the Most High King. Jesus wasn't sick, so you have a new bloodline. You don't have to be sick. Well, Pastor, somebody's got to die. That's right, but they don't have to die of disease. Their last breath can be just sucked out of them. God can just stop their heart and they can go home. God does not and is not so powerful that he's got to kill you with a disease. Say amen. Amen. You see, this transition in our mindset is so imperative. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Because what happens is this. If you start believing something that is not true, you will actually call it into your life. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. You see, today I want you to realize that it is never God's will for you to be sick. Not even the common cold. Turn to someone and say, it's never. Never. Come on, I'm getting you to prophesy to yourself and your neighbor itself. Come on, it is never God's will for you to be sick. You need to get that in your spirit because you can only have faith in what you believe. If you don't believe this, then you'll never have faith for it. And let me tell you, if you've been alive long enough, how many of you have ever had the common cold? When the common cold comes, man, you just simply start popping the drugs. You don't talk to Jesus. You don't call on Jesus. Man, you get a headache. First thing you do is you start popping the Tylenol instead of calling on the name of the Lord. I want you to know I thank God for what he's developed as doctors. As I said last week, there is not a conflict between medical science and the word of God. They're both striving to do the same thing. And anything that thwarts sickness is good. But the very first faith level should never be in a doctor, should never be in your medication. It should always be in the great physician. Can I hear an amen? And so as a believer, we cannot vacillate. But you will always vacillate until you are convinced it is always God's will to heal me. So why, Pastor? Why then are Christians sick? Why are they sick, Pastor? I mean, I remember one time I was getting ready to go on the road as an evangelist. And I sent out a bunch of letters to my Bible school buddies. And they were all in the same denomination. And one guy said, can I have a tape? I sent him a tape, and it was a tape on healing, how it's God's will to heal. And he commented back to me, he says, I could never have you in my church. Half my congregation are sick. You'd mess them all up. No, I want to mess them all right. You see, the pastor didn't have the chutzpah to preach the whole gospel. He preached salvation, but he never preached healing. And the problem is when you and I as pastors, well, you and I as ministers, maybe you're watching this morning by television, when you don't have the chutzpah to stand up and preach the whole gospel, you're stealing from the Bible, you're stealing from the believers, and you're keeping them sick and in the devil's domain rather than free and free indeed. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So as a believer, we've got to make choices. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that most believers are sick and many have died before their time simply because they have never been taught the whole truth of the gospel. It is very sad to me. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 29 and 30, it says, not discerning the Lord's body, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That means this. Many are weak, which means they have no more strength. Many are sick in their bodies, and many have died even before their time. See, many have done this because of the lack of knowledge. What you're hearing right now being preached in the from the pulpit, there's not one other church in this whole region that's preaching this. In this whole area, in this county, there's not another preacher that's standing up and declaring the whole gospel. They're not declaring. Listen, I'm not bashing them, but I'm telling you their doctrine. They do not believe that it's always God's will to heal. They'll pray, oh God, if it be your will, God, maybe this time. God, if they're lucky, it's like the lucky roulette wheel of Jesus. Spin it, if it lands on you, woohoo! But I'm here to tell you the truth, and the truth will make you free. It is always God's will to heal your body. I said it is always God's will to heal your body. I said it is always God's will to heal your body. Don't you ever let anybody steal that from you. Don't you ever let anybody lie to you. That is the word of God. That is your covenant right. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. For if the old covenant did not have flaws, there would not need to be a new one. Yet even in the old covenant, 2.5 million people walked out of Egypt completely healthy. How much more the sons and daughters of God now can walk in divine health by the power of Jesus' name, living in the gospel and the full covenant of God. And when it's your time to go, baby, God will just suck the last breath out. No sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, no growths, and no spirits of infirmity. So many are sick because simply, as believers, they've never been taught the whole gospel. And how sad. That really bothers me. That'd be like you having $1 million, yet you're living in a shack trying to barely make it by. Everybody else, there's a bunch of people who know that you have $1 million, but they never tell you. The lawyers never call you. So you live in squandry the rest of your life, just barely making it by. How cruel, how evil. I'm here to tell you today, it's the whole gospel that matters. And I am unashamed of the whole gospel of Christ. I'm here to tell you that God wants you forgiven of your sin. God wants you healthy. And God wants you financially blessed so much that you can be a blessing to somebody else. You and I can never retract from the full gospel. Can I hear an amen? I believe another reason that believers are sick, number two, would be because of sin. There are people who have sin in their life. Listen, they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but they're still pandering and playing with sin. I want you to realize sin has a consequence. I look at Jesus one time, healed a man, and afterwards Jesus found him in the temple in John chapter 5, verse 14, and he told him this, "Now you are well." Well means healthy. Now you are well, stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you. You see, sin can cause sickness and disease. As a believer, if there's sin in your life, you've got to get it out of your life. But pastor, I don't have sin in my life, but I'm still sick. Then that's not your issue. That shoe don't fit you. But if you are playing with sin, and you are sick in your body, then you have to get rid of the sin or you cannot get healthy. If you are shacking up with somebody, whoop! You're shacking up with somebody, you get sick. You don't have the covenant position to ask for healing. The Bible says that when there is sin, God does not listen to the sinner. We've got to make choices. Now, as believers, what's powerful about this is you are no longer a sinner the moment you accepted Jesus as your Savior. You are now a saint. You now have a new nature. According to Peter, he says now the new nature, the divine nature that's within you, that Christ has given you. Why? Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you, that now you are the very temple of the Holy Spirit. As the temple of the Holy Spirit, you have a new divine nature. The old nature was the sin nature, found in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. When you became born again, you no longer have the nature of your father, the devil, and there is rebellion, there is all sin wrapped up in him. But when you become born again, you are a new man and a new woman, but you cannot play with sin or else you will find sickness not too far behind. Say amen. some sin, another reason, some sicknesses are there because of demons. People don't like to talk about demons. It makes them uncomfortable. They don't mind going to the movies and watching demons. They don't mind putting their children in front of the demons and in the cartoons. Moms and dads, you need to pay attention. Do not allow your children, man, you need to watch the cartoons that your kids are watching, and I guarantee you if there's magic in them, listen, I always say it this way. I always let my kids watch Scooby-Doo because the ghosts were always fake. But I stopped letting them watch Scrappy-Doo because the ghosts were always real. And I want you to realize there are no ghosts. There are no poltergeists. There are no nice little demons. All those are demons, foul beasts from hell who have one goal, John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. There is no nice devil on the planet. Can I hear an amen? And you and I cannot allow demons to play in our lives. There are demons of blindness. There are demons of deafness. There are demons that are mute. There are demons dealing with arthritis. You know, the woman who was bent over and in no wise could raise herself up. But Jesus didn't pray, God heal her back. Jesus rebuked the spirit or the demon that was causing that. It's called the spirit of infirmity. The moment he spoke to that demon, her back stood up and she was made whole from that very moment. It's important to recognize that you cannot medicate out a devil. Come on now. You've got to cast off a devil. You've got to rebuke the devil. A demon, an actual spirit of infirmity is very real. You know, even today I deal with, well, we just came with Brother Ted. We were with Brother Ted this week. And Brother Ted and many of the Voice of Healing ministers, what you will find is simply this, is that anything that hath life that brought death that grows is a demonic spirit. Anything that has life, that brings death and grows, has a demonic root to it. So that would be cancers. We were praying, my wife was diagnosed with cancer. I wasn't praying the cancer away, I was rebuking the spirit that caused the cancer in her body. Why? Because it was a devil. Nothing more evil than cancer. Amen. You'll also find that the old timers always believed, and Brother Ted does even to this day, and he's one of my mentors, is that cataracts is life that brings death. It will bring blindness, a spirit of blindness to a person. You see, blindness is never from God. It's important to recognize that arthritis has a demonic root to it. All these different diseases, some of them are diabolical and some of them are just sickness. There's a need for the discerning of spirits. But when you get that, understand that, you cannot pray off a devil. You've got to bind a devil and cast it off. Now, I was in northern Maine. I was in Skowhegan, Maine one time. And I had a word of knowledge. Some of you have heard me stand up here and say different sicknesses. And what that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's called the word of knowledge, a bit of information that I personally could not know of. And what I do is I literally feel the physical pain. So I will feel that physical pain. Then I'll call out that pain because I know it's not mine. I know there's somebody dealing with it. And I know if God will reveal it, God will heal it. Amen? And so one day I was up in Maine and I had a word of knowledge about someone's back. I said, you're having pain in this portion of your back. And this man raised his hand. He said, that's me, sir. And so I went out to him and I said, God's going to heal you today. I laid my hands on his back and I cursed the pain that was in his back. I commanded recreation to happen. And man, I said, now I want you to try it. I said, how does it feel? He said, it feels awesome. But he said, the pain is now over here. So I walked over to him and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command all pain to go. I command that you have no right in his body. You are trespassing. I said, is it there? He said, no, it moved over here. I went, gotcha. That's a spirit of infirmity, bumping from one spot to the next. So I looked at him and I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of infirmity, I command you to come off his body. You are no longer to torment him or cause illness in his body. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. He had no more pain that evening. He had no more pain the next day, the last day of the meeting. And I came back the next year. He had never had pain again. Because that was not a sickness or a disease. That was a demonic spirit causing a sickness and or disease. And I want you to know that they're real. and that you and I can have an understanding, and we have full authority over all the power of the devil. Amen. Another way that people are sick are through birth defects. There was a man who was born blind. The disciples, this is found in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. The disciples said to Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents? Who sinned that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, "No one sinned here, but God is going to get the glory." And I want you to realize sometimes you are born with a birth defect, but I want you to hear me now. If you're born with a birth defect, don't give up and just accept it. Christ can heal it. Amen. If God can create a body, God can recreate a body. I remember I was praying for a woman up in northern Maine. She was born with a birth defect where her arm went down to where her elbow was, and there was a hand off where the elbow would be. And I said, "I believe that God will grow your arm." And she said, "I believe that too." And she really believed it. We laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. And I got a report like a month later. It had already grown 3 inches. How is that possible? Well, because God is able to do abundantly above. There's nothing impossible for our God. My wife and I were in the service. It was down at Brother Ted's. And they brought up a little 8-year-old boy who was born with a birth defect where he had no femur in his leg. So he had the hip. And he had the knee and all below it, but he had no femur. There was no bone in between. It just flopped. The mom and dad brought him up front and said, "You know, he's born with this birth defect." And Brother Ted looked at him and said, "I believe God's going to grow a bone." Well, we're all sitting there saying, "Jesus, that's a pretty good miracle." All of a sudden, Brother Ted lays hands and he starts calling in a brand new femur from heaven. And all of a sudden, I see Brother Ted's eyeballs pop open. Come on now. This is that camp meeting. I saw Brother, his eyeballs pop open. He starts jumping up and down. He says, "Come on over here." He took the mom and dad and said, "Feel that. You can feel the bone now." And all, they reach down. They start freaking out because you literally could feel the new bone growing in his body. And by the end of that service, that boy was running around the church. How is that possible? Because even if you have a birth defect, God is able. He is willing and he desires to heal your body. I love that. Some are sick because of accidents. Sometimes bad things happen. You trip, you break an ankle. Roll an ATV, blow your knee, blow the ankle. That was me. Blow out your back picking up a refrigerator. Duh, don't pick up refrigerators. But even if it's an accident, a car accident, or some other kind of accident, I want you to know that God is able to fix that. You know, we look at it so many times and we just simply say, "Well, you know, I guess that happened. That's what I got to live with." I'm here to tell you that's not true. You don't have to live with that. God is able to heal your body. God is willing to heal your body. God wants to heal you even of an accident that has happened in your life, no matter what it is. Now, I've been decreeing over my body for the last year and a half. I broke a toe. I told you about that. I broke a toe trying to throw my boss in the lake up in Massachusetts. And when I got out of the lake, my toe was over the other one like this. I drove home like that. I walked over to my dad and I said, "Dad, I think I broke my toe." He goes, "Nah." He pulled it straight out. I went very white, very quickly. It was broken, and now it's a little cockeyed. And I want you to know that I'm decreeing that that broken toe is going to be straight. "Well, you know, it's really not that big of a deal." It's a big deal to me. I want a straight toe. I deserve a straight toe. I'm a son of God. I don't want to get to heaven with a bent toe. I want a whole toe. Amen. No matter what it is, you can know this, that even if there's an accident, God can heal you from the things that have happened in the accident in the name of Jesus. I've watched people who have had brain damage because of a car accident that God restored them. People that have been in full comas, that gave up hope, that God raised them up. I want you to know that God is able to do that. That God is not only able, that God is willing, because it is always God's will to heal. And then, let's talk about the third one. And that is that we have a responsibility for our health. I want you to realize that we have a responsibility to be healthy. It's amazing when we realize that in our bodies, we abuse our bodies. Can I hear an amen or true oh my? 200 years ago, the average American ate 3 pounds of sugar a year. In America today, you guys got that? Bring it on out here. Well, I guess I was doing that one. In America today, we eat, on average, 150 pounds of sugar a year. One, two, three, four, five, 20, right? Six. Where'd the sixth one go? Somebody ate it. 150 pounds of sugar a year is the average American. And then there are a group of people that are above the average that eat up to 300 pounds of sugar a year. It amazes me when I sit back and I look at how we are trying to be healthy, or we are asking God to move in our lives. It's not working. But honestly, every can of Coca-Cola, I think, has 16 teaspoons of sugar. What, 39? 39. You looked it up. 39 teaspoons of sugar. Every Coca-Cola. Can I get this off without ruining my jacket? What's amazing is so we've gone to Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi. What's amazing is that even the sugars that are in there, these fake sugars, what they don't tell you is they've not been passed by the FDA. And that when you eat some of these sugars, it encapsulates your fat cells and they never let the fat leave your body. We are living a lifestyle that it's amazing. We love sugar daddies. Can I hear an amen? How many of you love Milky Way? Snickers. Butterfingers. They're the best. Thinking Butterfingers are the best. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Yeah, that's right on. Come on now. Twinkies. Whoa. Come on now. Ring dings. Jesus. I'm starting to sweat just by thinking about all this good food. Donuts. Donuts are the will of God. You know there'll be donuts in heaven. I want you to know that. And with our glorified bodies, it won't matter. 150 pounds of sugar. One of the greatest feeding frenzies of cancer is sugar. When you start realizing there's not one nutritional piece of value. None. But it sure does taste good. There's no value in sugar but to cause sickness and disease. Yet that's our diet. We sit there and that's what we eat. Or we run over to a fast food restaurant. We open it up. And it's a biscuit with almost sausage. You know where you can feel like the grease on top of your roof of your mouth? That is why we wear bibs. You go to the restaurant in the morning, you order two or three of these. They're only a buck a piece. I'm going to burp this up for an hour after. So here we have all the Americans running around eating these things. I think there's one of them without a thing in it, so I ate that part. Amen. Got to wash it down with a Coke. Oh, I'm sorry. Trying to be health conscious. Give me a diet. Now I'm sticky. It's amazing how we eat. We eat so bad, but we can't understand when we get sick. You eat 500 hamburgers and your heart blows up and you try to blame the devil. Come on now. You can't understand why your cholesterol's high and you ate 4 gallons of ice cream yesterday. It's so important that we recognize we have a part in the health divine plan that God has. We've got to take good care of our bodies. The Bible says, listen, the Bible says that physical exercise profiteth little. It doesn't say that it doesn't profit at all. We've got to take care of ourselves. It's important that we start feeding ourselves properly. And then we have bad habits. Alcohol. You know what's amazing to me? It's so rare to find people talk about life without alcohol being part of the conversation. Any sporting event, you're always going to find booze there. In fact, even not just sinners, but believers, you're going to hear them talking about, did you get a bud? Did you get this new beer? How'd you like that beer? Did you like that beer? Did you guys bring any beer? Booze is surrounded. Now listen, I want to be very clear that you'll always find that hard liquor is a sin in the Bible. Amen. But it amazes me on how so many people are so in love and dealing with alcohol where it's every part of their life. It tastes good. It never tasted good. Beer is an acquired taste. First time you tasted beer was like, wow, that's the best. First time you tasted beer was, I don't want anybody to see me grimace. I want to be cool. No, I'm telling you, this is an acquired taste. And what's happened is alcohol has become so prevalent in our society. And I'm now talking in the church. Do you know there's a church now that does Bible studies at the local bar? They want to be relative. I'll give you relative. The Bible says don't be addicted to anything but to Jesus Christ. The Bible says gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Not just sober in your body, but when you're drinking alcohol and you go beyond where you're supposed to be, especially when you go beyond, the Bible says that's drunkenness and the drunkard should not enter the kingdom of heaven. Nothing should control you but the word of God. Alcohol should not be a major part of your life. In fact, if I had it my way as your pastor, it would not be part of your life at all. Well, I like it. Then drink O'Doul's. Well, you know, I don't get a buzz that way. Exactly. You're replacing the Holy Spirit for booze. Man, I tell you something. It's gonna destroy your life. When I was a youth pastor in Pennsylvania, I had to rent a room from an older gentleman, and he wasn't born again. He had one beer every day. He went to his doctor, and the doctor said, "You, sir, are an alcoholic." He said, "How can I be an alcoholic? I only have a beer a day." He said, "Because you need that beer a day." If you are now, if you drink alcohol in this church, I want to challenge you to do something. Go 2 months without drinking any booze. If you can't do it, you might need detox or deliverance. If you can't do it, you're controlled by it. And if you can't do it, listen, you can't be shocked when the health problems come your way. Alcohol causes addictions. Addictions means ownership. Addiction causes liver disease, pancreatitis, heart disease, brain damage, cancer, stomach issues, muscle tissue disease, depression, strokes, high blood pressure. Woohoo! Smoking. Pastor, I only vape. I just vape. Listen now. Come on now. Cigarettes are gonna kill you. It's an addiction. It's not like they took a leaf and they crushed it up like in the old days and they stuffed it in that corncob pipe. They got so many chemicals in the cigarettes today. They got so much in the cigarettes that are making you addicted and are killing you. It's literally killing you. Vaping is doing the exact same thing. Smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, COPD, strokes, asthma, female reproduction problems, premature babies with their low weight, diabetes, blindness, and 10 other types of cancers. But pastor, I don't do that. I just smoke a little weed, you know. But pastor, it's just an herb. It's just an herb. It's good for the health. Come on now. Had a man once say to me, he says, well, pastor, I have medical marijuana. I said, what do you do? He says, I smoke it. I says, why don't you take the pill? Well, because he'd like to smoke. Man, when you start using weed, now listen now, I don't believe that marijuana is a sin. I know I'll mess up some of your religion. I don't believe that marijuana is a sin. It's a drug. And it has health processes that are good for you when it's done properly. But man, I've watched one day I had a man come into my office. He's in his mid-40s. Comes to my office, sits down at my desk, and he says, pastor, I want to be free. I said, awesome, dude. He hands me a pack of Marlboros. And I went, amen, man. It's good to get rid of the cigarettes. They're going to kill you. And he goes, well, you should probably open it. Open it up, and there are 3 or 4 joints with a nickel bag in there. And I'm going, oh, crap. Now I'm going to jail. It's got the weed in there, man. I tell you something. Not only the teenagers are smoking, but their parents are smoking with them. Not only, come on now, you'd think that when you're 20 years old, you're done smoking weed. No, 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 no. I know 60-year-olds are still smoking weed. And then it comes down to, why are you smoking weed? Yeah, you need deliverance. Well, then you better go give that stuff up, brother. I'm telling you something. You're going to die. How was that? Pretty good. Well, it's just for entertainment, really? You need drugs to entertain you? My dad taught me this. He didn't teach me a lot, but one thing he did teach me. I want to know what I've done, how I've done, who I did it with, and if I had fun doing it. And you can't always do it when you're drunk or on drugs. And so, listen now, it's not that I wasn't offered drugs. It's not that I wasn't offered to go to the parties. But I always made a decision. If I got to have something that's fake to stimulate me, to be happy and to have a good time, I'm more messed up inside than I ever thought. We've got to be free, and I'm telling you, all these things are going to cause sickness and disease in your body because it's not what they were made for. I didn't think I was going to get a lot of excitement out there, and I'm sure I was right. Another reason people are sick is because they don't exercise. God never called us to be sedentary. God never called us to be sedentary. Now my calves hurt. Man, I remember I used to ride my bicycle 1,000 miles a year. Every year, 1,000 miles. And last year, man, when we moved and all the stuff's going on, I just got busy and I made every excuse in the world not to exercise. It's amazing to realize how many people are sedentary. We're all shoving down the, come on now, shoving down the Fitbits. And we see this and we get nervous. This should not make us nervous. Oh, that's gross, man. Hold on. Need a drink. I think I need a nap. I maybe exercise 3.5 minutes. All right, 2. I don't want to overdo it. Oh, I need to wash it down with a Coke. What? I needed an energy drink. Only 22% of Americans exercise. Over 3/4 of Americans no longer exercise. Which means if we're not exercising, we're not going to be healthy. Now, I, like I said, usually did 1,000 miles a year. This year, Adam, 100 miles. I'm declaring I'll hit 500 by Christmas. But I want to tell you why I do not really want to exercise. Because I know when I start, I'm going to be in pain. But I use the excuse of time. I don't have time as I'm sitting there watching television. I'm sitting there drinking a Coke. Amen. Here we are, man. There's a reality that if we're going to be healthy, God has a divine health plan for us. But we have things we have to do in the divine health plan. We have things we have to accomplish. We have things we have to look at and take responsibility for. Can I hear an amen? Amen. My mother-in-law, she was diagnosed with diabetes and with high blood pressure. And the doctor told her, if you lose weight, you'll lose this. The high blood pressure will go and the diabetes will go. And so she came up front on a Sunday morning. She's passed away many years ago. But she came up front on a, it's almost like cocaine. That sugar. She came up front and I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. And when I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, she was healed. She went back to the doctor. High blood pressure was gone. Her diabetes was gone. And the doctor said, that's good. You've done great. But I looked at her and I said, now remember, Edith, you have a responsibility to eat right. You have a responsibility to start doing some level of exercise. And she looked at me and she said, I'm going to die eating what I want to die. And no one's going to tell me what I can eat because I want to be happy in my last days. And she was. And she's dead. She died before she had to. You got to take care of yourself. I'm preaching to the choir, baby. I'm preaching to myself too. Come on now. Come on, I take responsibility. Pastor Obi is so funny. He came up to me before he saw my notes, and he came up to me and he goes, Pastor, I'm more than willing to help you stay accountable. And I looked at him and I said, I want to punch you right in the face. Because he's got muscles on muscles. It's horrible. He's lean. He can wear those skinny jeans and he looks good. I wear the skinny jeans and got lumps. It's not right. But you see, I have a responsibility. I'm 53 years old. Do you want to know what the Holy Spirit told me? He said, you're praying for revival. I can't bring it because of you. He said, if I brought revival to your church, to this church, you couldn't handle it. Because you have to have stamina to go 5 services in a row. Some of them 3 to 5 hours at a clip. And you, after 3, are tired. Listen, we just got back from Brother Ted's. After 2, I was tired. We went, service started at 7 o'clock. We got home at like 12:30 at night. 2 nights in a row. We were up at, actually, we got home early the second night because we had to get up at 3 a.m. And man, I tell you something, I'm tired. Why am I tired? Because honestly, I've not been taking care of myself the way I'm supposed to. And I'm just as guilty as this as anybody else. I went to the doctor after 3 years of not being there, and he got mad at me. He said, I'm going to put you through every test that I can. I'm going to torment you a little bit. And so he put me through this test and that test, and he put me through, what do they call those, the heart thing, you know, stress test. And he put me through all the blood work, and he told me I was going to get a colonoscopy. And I said, hey, nay, saith the Lord. Said I did the Cologuard instead, and then he said to me, he said, listen now, we found that you have fat on your liver. And I said, well, I mean, that doesn't sound really good. He said, well, it's not really good. He said, you shouldn't have fat on your liver. And I said, how do you get fat off your liver? He said, you're fat. He said, you get fat off your liver by exercise, losing weight. He said, I want you to lose at least 10 pounds by the next time you see me. Doctor of death, that's all I know. You have to exercise. You have to eat right. We have a responsibility in this divine health thing. And when you and I are doing right, and all of a sudden some sickness comes on us, We don't have to sit back and say, I caused it myself. There's nothing worse than causing your own illness. Pastor, I admit that's what I did. I admit, listen now, I've got fat on my liver. The devil didn't put the fat on my liver. I put the fat on my liver because I love donuts. I love ice cream. I love sugar. I have a relationship. You know, when you don't have sugar for a day, you really miss her with the headache. You know, it's important to know that honestly, we have responsibility. The great news here as I'm ending is simply this. No matter woo that I'm ending or woo that we're I wasn't sure what the woo was over. The great part about all of this is this truth, that no matter how you become sick, no matter how the disease came on your body, no matter how and what you're dealing with, Jesus still has paid the price for your healing and your miracle. That is not for you to carry on the cross. We must repent for the things that we have caused ourselves. But then we've got to get up and run this race to win. Can I hear an amen? Jesus wants you healthy. Jesus paid for you to be healthy. Yes, we have to be wise. Yes, we have to be good stewards of the body that God has given us. But I'm here to tell you, no matter what, God wants you healed. Health is his plan for your life. Every one of us need to move forward in this health plan. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're dealing with, but this I know. Whatever the cause was. Whatever the cause or lack thereof was. God can change it. God can heal you. God wants to heal you. He not only can heal you, He wants to heal you. He wants you healthy. He wants you restored. He wants you blessed. And you have to believe that, or else you're not going to be able to receive that. And today, I'm here to tell you that message. Next week, we're going to prove to you it is always God's will. Prove to you through the scripture, it is always God's will. So you'll never have to doubt one more second in your life. So that every time sickness comes on you or your children, you can take a stand in the spirit and bind that in Jesus' name. You can take authority over that and master that sickness because it has no right to master you. You're a child of God. Blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled, son and daughter of the Most High King. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. This morning, I'm going to have Mindy come to the front. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm here to tell you today that Jesus died so that you can live. Not just physically, but spiritually. See, today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says you're dead in your trespasses and sin. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you died right now, you will not go to heaven. There are not many ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. It's not joining a church, not joining a religion. You can't join this church. We don't have membership. But what we have is this. We have a message for you of the gospel of Christ. And what Jesus paid for, you have the right to obtain. And the first one is your sins can be forgiven. You can know that you know that you know that you have a relationship with God, and if you die, you know where you're going to go. Amen? Then healing, and then prosperity. So this morning, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want Him in your life, I would like you to slide your hand up. Say, I want Jesus in my life. I want the covenant of God. I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to know that I'm going to go to heaven. Is there anyone in the room this morning that needs Jesus as their personal Savior? I'm not going to wait real long. Is there anyone this morning? 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 4, 3, 2. Last call and 1. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. I don't know what sickness or disease you're struggling with, but I know that these people know how to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's what the word says, amen? They shall recover. I'm declaring that we are the healthiest church in this region. I'm declaring that people with cancer are going to come here to get healed in Jesus' name. Those with blood disease, those with tumors, those with troubles in their bodies, that God is going to send them here. Hands are going to get laid on them. They're going to leave here healthy, blessed, encouraged, and strengthened, and know that God is able to do abundantly above. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. Amen? So today, I speak blessing over each one in this house in the name of Jesus. I curse the spirit of infirmity. I command you to get off every single believer that's in this room in Jesus' name. Everyone that's watching by live stream, I curse that spirit of infirmity. I rebuke you, foul thing. Get off their bodies. Whatever you're causing, I curse you and command you to bring in Jesus' name, to bring and to leave, and Jesus, bring health for the glory of God. Lord, I speak to every portion that's been deteriorated. I command restoration. Now, God, I declare in Jesus' name that, Father, your faith of your children will rise to this new occasion, that they will find people that are sick, they will lay hands on them, and they will recover at work. They will recover at home. They will recover at Walmart. They will recover, God. Lord, use your family, your children, God, to do mighty exploits in this community. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I love you. Have an awesome week. Serve God with all of your heart. Remember, if you need prayer, this is where you want to be right now. Get on up here. We'll lay hands on you. God will heal your body.